Broadcasting from the Road Science Center, Valley City State University presents Toast and Jam. I'm Tim Oster, Toast, and here he is, Paul McDonald, the Jam Man.
Yay. I like jam.
The Jam Man.
The
I like that.
The Jam Man. Okay. I got all sorts of nicknames. Some we can use on the air, some we cannot.
No, we better be careful.
Yeah, we'll be good. We're good. We're good.
We have all kinds of people behind the scenes. And I can't remember that young man's...
Colby Hanson.
Colby?
Yep.
Hanson. From Aberdeen, South Dakota. I found that out, though.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Aberdeen Central.
Ooh,
Pride of Aberdeen Central.
I think that's the Eagles.
It is.
I believe so,
yeah. And Mark Potts back there, too, helping out. Mark, nice to have you along. We've got a great show today. You know, we're in the thick of fall sports. I mean, it's getting interesting now. Things start to get a little interesting.
It's almost on the back end of fall sports.
I know. And we'll get to that and a lot more. Our guest today, Chad Smith, coach of the Valley City High School football team, and, of course, ties to Valley City State as well, as we broadcast on the campus. And we have been here for the last 2 months, maybe?
Roughly.
Yeah. It's our new home.
It's our new home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're liking it.
I love it.
Yeah. This is a lot of fun. You know, we're going to start things out with a recap like we always do, and Paul McDonald has that for us.
Just a quick check on Valley City State sports. Football team playing well, 21-0 over Mayville.
Mm-hmm.
Mayville coming off a 34-32 win over Dickinson State in triple overtime the week before. And then the Vikings, 21 rip, shut them out. Third shutout this season. Right now, the Viking defense, 10th, 9th actually in the nation, giving up 13.7 points per game and also in the top 10 defense in yards allowed so far.
Dickinson State lost again.
And that is our next opponent. Mm-hmm. So let's hope another Dickinson State hangover.
Get them at the low spot.
Exactly. 27-25. They spoiled the Blue Hawks homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
First win in Dickinson for Dakota State ever and snapped a 14-game losing streak to the Blue Hawks.
I'm going to blame my brother. He was there, and I'm going to blame him on that one.
Something's going on with Blue Hawk football right now. Yeah. So, and, of course, they come here to Valley City next Saturday, October 25th. Dickinson State comes to town. So,
and they played earlier, and that was a close one.
And that was a close
Could one. Could have gone either way.
Till the second half, but, you know, So it's going to be fun to see what happens in Madison this weekend. Volleyball team, they're coming off a sweep over Montana Tech and Montana Western last weekend. They're at Mayville State here on Wednesday. They're now 8-10 overall, 6-7 in the conference. And then home for six out of their last eight matches are at home. The next four, they'll be at Gratian, and then they'll be at the bubble the first week of November. Coming up this weekend, they've got Providence, who's ranked number 3 in the country, on Friday night, 6 o'clock. Then on Saturday, it's Montana State Northern on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And again, both those matches will be at Gratian. You can watch them on the VCSU Athletics YouTube page. So it's going to be a great – and getting back in Gratian, I know some people don't like it because it is so confined, but you get a good crowd in there. Ooh,
yeah,
great atmosphere.
I love Gratian.
Yeah,
exactly.
Awesome atmosphere.
Awesome
atmosphere when it's
And rough. If I'm the home team in Gratian, I'm loving it because the visitors don't know what's going on because it's crazy.
Everybody's on top of you.
People are on the floor. It's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And lastly, the cross-country team, they were out in Bismarck for their last regular season meet. They're at the Marauder Open. Mason Bremer, career best in the 8K, finished 7th overall in the men. And Frida Barrera, a freshman, she was 5th. And these are a lot of D2 schools that were in this. And she came 1.9 seconds away from setting the school record for 6K for women. And she's a freshman.
Wow.
Out of Clara City, Minnesota. That's Maynard Clara City McCray is the name of the school that she comes from.
Southern Minnesota?
Southwest.
Okay.
Southwest Minnesota. And so the cross-country team, they're now off until they have their conference championships in Billings coming up in November. Golf is done until spring. Baseball done until spring. Softball is done until spring.
Snow is just about here.
Basketball. We got our first basketball game coming up here in 2 weeks on Halloween.
Well, I saw the weather forecast. Snow in the mountains. It's coming.
It's coming. Snowed all from Great Falls, Montana. Yeah, yeah, it snowed. That's coming. Where Providence is.
Providence saw snow and Great Falls. Both of you two know what you can do with your snow. But and then let's get to Highlander Athletics, and we'll talk football later because someone's here that's got more insight than I. But volleyball team last week, they lost to Kindred in five, then bounced back and beat Central Cass in three. They were in Fargo this past weekend at a big Metro invite that had all the Fargo schools in it, and they were the only Class B school, I believe, that was in this.
And didn't Northern Cass beat Kindred then, later?
Later on, Northern Cass Volleyball did beat Kindred in five. And for the volleyball team in pool play, they lost to Bismarck, then beat Mandan, beat Red River, and then in bracket play, they lost to, ironically, Aberdeen Central. In bracket play, and then lost again to Minot North and Oak Grove. They are at Wahpeton today, next week at Northern Cass, then they've got Oak Grove, and then they come back home to wrap up the regular season in the end of October.
Winter sports knocking on the door, but we're not done yet.
And finally, cross country for the Highlanders. They were at their Class B East Region up in Cooperstown here this past weekend. The girls took sixth overall. Cadence Fetch was a top finisher, finishing 20th. A couple of personal bests and PRs for the Highlanders. Camden Kapperman, who's an eighth grader, had a PR. Courtney Macha had a PR as well. She is a junior. And then the boys, they finished fourth out of 30 teams in the East Region with Jack Sorby, the top finisher. He finished 10th overall, and they had one, two, three, four, five, six personal records for the boys.
Way to go.
So the cross country, now they are playing, they're at the ACDC meet. No, that's not, it's not the group. It's the Autumn Classic Distance Challenge that'll be in Moorhead coming up at Johnson Park. It's hosted by Fargo South.
I like it.
But it,
it's they call it the ACDC. And that is coming up here this weekend. That's all I've got for Highlander sports because there is more, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to throw in a few little things here. Minnesota Vikings, Carson Wentz, J.J. McCarthy. Still, McConnell says he's not decided yet, so we'll see what happens.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with that in the future. Carson's played well enough to say, does he keep the spot, and J.J.'s really young yet? Do you mess with Mojo? Do you not? That's a lot of questions the head coaches have to ask.
And, you know, Philadelphia defense is not your ordinary defense either, and that could be tough for J.J.
Again, although they've been a hot knife through butter lately. Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan, so we'll talk about that.
And again, you know, we've got them down, too, right now. They've lost two in a row, so who knows? UND, NDSU, Minnesota Gophers, they all win over the weekend. Baseball playoffs, wow.
I know. You got the Blue Jays and the Mariners.
Seattle Mariners beating up on the Brew Crew.
Yeah.
And then they win that game back last week in 15 innings to take on the Brew Crew next. So
you have the two expansion teams from 1977 playing in the ALCS.
Yeah. And of course, Seattle's never been to the big dance.
No, they have not.
Never have.
No. Nope.
Okay.
And they actually, don't they have the record for MLB, too, in a regular season and not made the
World
Series? Because didn't they win like 102 games back in the early 2000s?
111 or 110 one year.
Wasn't Seattle a team that went like 17 years without a winning record?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, good for them, though.
Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly.
It's good to see new blood in there. And pro and college hockey is underway, too, already.
Yeah. Everything's going at once.
Man, could we just give us a little breath somewhere?
No.
No, it's just nonstop.
No.
Okay, well, Paul, thank you so much.
Always
a pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to our guest, Chad Smith, coach for the Highlanders, the football team. Of course, some Valley City ties as well. Mm-hmm. You've been around the block a few times.
Yeah, I've been here for, close to 7-8 years now? Moved over here when I was coaching at UMary and with the Bismarck Bucks, and then took a position to be the wide receiver strength and conditioning coach at VCSU for a few years. And
a Montana kid.
Yep, Montana kid from Great Falls area. That's where Providence is, if anyone knows. So it's actually, all the Great Falls kids would laugh, it's behind Target University is what we used to call it, BTU, because it's behind Target in Great Falls. So we used to call it BTU.
So you played your college football at
Rocky. Yeah.
Rocky
Who beat VCSU a couple weeks ago. So actually the first time I got to watch them play since I graduated and coached there for a couple years. So I was wearing both colors. I had a lot of people upset at me, but I had a Viking hat on and I had Battling Bear shirt on, but more people noticed the green shirt than they did the Viking hat on my head, but it is what it is.
Very cool.
But it was a lot of fun.
What position?
I was a linebacker.
Linebacker.
Yeah.
You look like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Kinda, you know. Tough.
I was an inside Mike linebacker. I couldn't move left or right. I could fill A and B gap. Yeah, exactly.
The only thing, you got teeth, though.
Yep.
You're not missing any teeth, right?
That's hockey.
Okay, so the Highlanders 3-5 now on the football season. 3-3 inside that region.
That's the most important.
It is. You know, and you got that big win against Oaks over the last, Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
That was big for you.
It was huge. Yeah. So happy for our guys. They played well. You know, we finally did things that we needed to do all year that we've been talking about and preaching about, and it was good to see us tackle well, and it was good to see us run, and yeah, we broke another school record, rushing record. We've broken that twice this year, so that's awesome. So, and Caleb McLaughlin's such a good kid. He's worked so hard to get to where he's at, and super happy with what we did Friday night.
Scary at the beginning. Fumble-itis all over the place.
Both teams, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Whew, that was scary, but hey, you got it going.
Yep.
And again, Caleb with a big game. Mm-hmm. Any other people that you like to throw out there right now?
Well, I mean, I could throw out all day.
The whole team.
I could be here all day. That's what I told the team yesterday in our team meeting before we had practice, because the JV game's tonight. So we had our film meeting and then we had practice last night. And I talked about defensively. I just, like, when we went back and watched the film, I couldn't figure out defensive player of the game. I said, we had a lot of things happen defensively that did really well. You know what I mean? Ty Cordy does a great job on a fourth down to stop a touchdown in the back corner of the end zone. And I don't know if I've seen defense from a sophomore quarterback play like that in a long time. He didn't panic. He didn't freak out. He played the ball right when the ball showed up in the defender's hands or the offensive player's hands. Did a great job. Jack Dieterle had a great job with, getting that fumble recovery early in the first quarter, but then also coming back with a late sack for us. You know, in the first quarter, we had some things that were beating us. Boston Larson was getting upfield too high, and we watched on, you know, high school is a little bit different now. You can have huddle and you can have a sideline replay. So we were able to go back and watch things and knew immediately what was going on and told Boston, hey, looking at it, I'm like, hey, you've got to correct this. We can't get upfield anymore. And to his benefit, he did it. And I was really happy and impressed with what he did. So we were able to shut down some things. And I could just go on and on. Ryan Muskie makes a great deflection on a PBU in the late fourth quarter. I mean, there was just so many things defensively, you know. You know, I think the changing point of the game, it was a 14-12 game going into it, and we got a drive that stalled offensively, and we had to go to an emergency kicker, right? Corbin goes down with an ankle injury, and all of a sudden Caleb's got to play running back, and then Amari Ronsberg's got to go in there and play and kick for us and punt for us. And he hadn't done very good punting up until that point, but I said in the timeout, I said, hey, here's the deal, guys. Amari's going to have a great punt here. We're going to get it down, and we're going to figure out how to get things going. And Amari backed up, had a great punt, and it rolled, 7-8 yards? Yeah. I think it was at the minus 15 or minus 12, somewhere in there. It was like
15. Yeah,
yeah, it was deep in there. And literally the next three plays, we go 3-and-out. We go back offensively, scoring 2 plays. He comes back out for the kickoff. It hits off a dude's leg. We get it back and go. So, I mean, it's crazy to think that a punt was the impact play of the game, but I really do think that punt changed that game because it changed the field position and it changed everyone's entire attitude. It was like a breath of fresh air that we could relax because Oaks had been on almost the plus 50 trying to score and getting that lead back, and it was a lot of fun.
Fun to see that team effort, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
When you can't name a player, you know your team was doing the
job.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Well, 3-3 in the region now, and 2 games out of first place, 1 out of 2nd, I believe.
Yep.
And you have Northern Cass.
Yep. Last game of the year. It really doesn't matter. I mean, we're playing for the 4 seed to get in the playoffs. They take the top 4 teams in the region. So playoff scenario looks like this. I think, you know, Northern Cass has a few different entryways depending on what they do, if they win and what seed they would get in. We have to win, and we're the 4 seed.
Okay.
We own the tiebreaker over Oaks, and we own the tiebreaker over Northern Cass because it's head-to-head. So for us, it's easy. We don't have to sit there and worry about points. We don't have to worry about anything. We would be in with a win. So I'd be excited.
Your take on Northern Cass?
Really good football team. They're coached by a former VCSU athlete in Tyler Eukstead.
Okay.
A kid that I coached. I was his position coach for 2 years, I think it was, before he graduated. And so really excited for Tyler. He's been the head coach over there now for, I think, 3 years. He's done a really good job. And, you know, I've obviously followed his career. And he's become a husband, father, and doing great things over at Northern Cass. He's their AD as well. And continues to grow. They run a little triple option stuff inside of their offense, but I see a lot of old VCSU offense in it too, to be quite honest. Same pass route concepts and things of those nature, and they put you in a tough position. So I'm excited about doing that. I mean, obviously, I coach the defense for us, so I'm excited about going against their offense and seeing if we can scheme up some things to create some sacks for us or maybe some possible turnovers. You know, defensively, they play really well. They tackle well. They, you know, they played EEK last week and tackled him really well. Now EEK ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown, and we just talked about that UND and NDSU a couple years ago, right? Right. It felt like the same thing, and EEK has done a really good job of doing those things to get momentum for things, and I thought they played really well against EEK, better than we played against them. So it'll be a fun battle. I'm excited about it. I think our kids have a little bit of juice and excitement. You know, I was a little worried about our team going into Oaks of whether we were we done with the year. Like, mm-hmm. were we flat mm-hmm. and were the kids just checked out? You know, we're 3-4 or 3-5 or 2-5 at the time. Mm-hmm. So are the kids checked out? Are they kind of ready to be done? And I was like, guys, we still have an opportunity to get in the playoffs if we win and we figure out how to win again next week. I'm like, we're not out of this, guys. So really, it was just a lot of team effort because there has been a lot of culture things, a lot of things that we were talking about how to get better at as a program over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I saw some maturity out of it. Now, we didn't solve all of our problems, but we mm-hmm. played together as a team, and we're going to continue to rally on that. So
how about
practice
injury?
Had a lot of juice yesterday, which yeah. is nice.
How about injuries going in?
You know, Corbin Powell obviously hurt his ankle Friday night. He wasn't at practice yesterday, but that's because he was on a school visit down in Iowa. He's got some pretty good opportunities baseball-wise to figure out where he wants to play. And so I think he's been checking out a couple schools. So we knew he was going to be gone Monday. I think he gets it reevaluated today and see how it is. He sits a little stiff and sore, but we'll see where he's at and coming forward with that. Other than that, I think we're pretty healthy across the board. We walked away unscathed against Oaks. So that would be the only one that has got me worried a little bit. And he's a really good athlete to have on the field for us. So mm-hmm. it's a big injury for us. So we got to practice well. We got to continue to do the things we need to do to play good football. And, you know, I think our guys did a really good job of stepping up. Caleb moved out from yeah. Will linebacker out to Sam that night, which means he's playing out in space for us in the Sam linebacker spot. And then a Hunter Undum and a Jack Leroux would both have to come in and play the Will spot, and they did a really good job for it. So,
well, part of the game you're going to have to do well to beat Northern Cass.
You know, A, we got to tackle really well. I mean, that has been the preaching point of us the last 3 weeks is tackling well. And mm-hmm. so if we continue to tackle well, we'll do okay. We've got to contain their offensive triple option stuff. Now, they don't get to the pitch a ton, but they get to it enough that you got to be able to tell your DNs or whoever, play the dive, play the pitch man, and then play the quarterback as well. So you got to get all three phases of those. And if you're out of step with any of those, you're in a lot of trouble. They're gonna score on you. You know, they do a good job of throwing the ball deeper than you expect at the high school level. There's a lot of third and long plays that I watched in the huddle breakdown that they're going to extend plays, and they do a good job of getting the first down out of it. So if we can eliminate them moving the chains and get our offense back on the field, I feel pretty good. You know, I think we knew we had a decent 1-2 running back combo between Corbin and Caleb, and Corbin going down didn't really scare us offensively as much as maybe some people from the outside looked at it. I think we looked at it going, okay, we just change a little bit and we become more of a gap scheme run, which is power counter for some of those people. It's more like an NDSU style where it's downhill. You're pulling a guard, you're kicking out someone, and you're just leading in those holes. And Caleb's probably a better runner in gap scheme than Corbin's probably a better zone outside the tackle box type of runner for us. And so Caleb had a really good attack for us on Friday night, and I think you'll see a lot more gap scheme from us again this week. We've got to do a good job of making sure that we continue to get the ball to the perimeter, whether that's mm-hmm. in bubble screens or some jet motion stuff and getting into Derek Shape's hands and getting things out on the perimeter. And again, like I told our guys, the explosive plays will happen if we continue to get 3 or 4 yards and continue to move the ball down the field and just move the chains. Can't go 3 and out and just turn around and give the ball back to their offense and put us in bad field positions spots.
Rain a possibility on Friday night. How does that affect your team?
I don't know if it affects us a ton.
Is it going to affect them more than you?
I think it probably would, just because a wet ball is a little bit harder to throw. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You go back and look at some of, you know, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning would tell you that they didn't mind snow games because snow was cold, but the ball was still sticky. But rain games made the ball slippery. Mm-hmm. And so when a slippery ball there and you got a smaller hand, you tend to not as have a good ball security. So I think that would help us a little bit. But, you know, they played in a rain game. What was it? When did we have all that rain 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. when it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It didn't rain very much at VCSU, but they played at Northern Cass and Hunter, and it was raining in that game a lot. And I think that was that changed their game against, I think it was Hillsboro, I think they were playing out there, if I remember.
And it ended up pretty close.
It was very close. It was like a 6-0 ball.
Six nothing final.
So that changed the way they played quite a bit. And honestly, should go back and review that film. Usually we kind of go back 3 games, but I should go back and review that film of what we would kind of get off of there, too.
So. I hate to look ahead, but it's fun to do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You win, who would you play?
We'd get the region, is it region 3 or region 2? It's 2. Langdon.
It's Langdon.
So I knew that much. I knew it's Langdon. But I just couldn't remember what region they're in. So we'd probably go to Langdon is where we would end up going.
And
so,
the team you played earlier this year.
Yeah, that presents a lot of problems. Our quarterback is a really good football player, and they have a lot of stuff going. They haven't lost a game yet this year, so... You know, I think it'd be exciting for our guys to go back up there because I think they felt like we didn't play very good. So
you're a different team.
Play better. We were a better. We were a different team then. You know, we were still feeling things out in a new coaching regime and not trusting the game plan as much. I think now if we played and we do things a little bit differently, maybe it's a ball game.
Mojo too. Who knows?
Yep.
Getting the momentum.
Coach knows what it is, but I told our players we're focused on the Jaguars. We got to beat Northern
One
Cass,
game at a time.
That's all we have to control and worry about right now.
Yep. Exactly. But it's always fun to look ahead.
Yep.
It is.
And I know it's hard for kids to just think one game. I know it is, but they still have to do that. Yeah, awesome.
One thing I know that I'm sure you preached or have talked about to cut down on is the penalties.
Oh, 100%. They drive a coach nuts all the time, and it's been something we've talked about all year early in the year. Early in the year, it was – silly, you know, false starts or offsides, not watching the football, and then now it's turned into a little bit of we got to control our anger a little bit. You know, we play really hard and we're right on the edge, and part of it is just having the mental discipline to just walk away when things happen. You know, Friday night we had a team celebration in the end zone because we scored a touchdown on a post. I'm not going to be mad about that one. That one's sometimes ticky-tacky when you get the celebration. We've preached all year that we need to celebrate more as a team together. So if you get one of those, all right, we'll take that as a coaching staff, right, because we talked about it. But personal foul penalties need to end, and we're continuing to do that. What I was encouraged by is we had a couple of roughing the passer penalties early this year, and there was about 3 times that we rushed that passer Friday, and we went back and watched film today that we didn't get the roughing the passer. We peeled off, you know, we fixed those things. So I'm excited about seeing that. But yeah, it's things that we've talked about as a coaching staff and position group to continue to grow. And it's, I don't want to say our kids are undisciplined, but at the same time, they've learned different standards from mm-hmm. 3 different head football coaches. And so it's tough on those seniors, right? You're asking them to do a lot of changing, a lot of morphing over a quick amount of time. And they've done a good job of accepting it and growing through it. And, you know, you feel like you almost lose them when you're not playing well and you're not winning ball games. And all of a sudden, when things click and you play well as a football team, how much that gels you together, and they come back and they rally and like, oh, coach was kind of right in what he was saying. You know what I mean? It was about a tackling. It was about our tackling. It was about fixing and being the right gap responsibility. And it was about trusting the offensive game plan and continuing to know that when you run downhill and you block at the perimeter, big things happen. So,
you bet.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Self-control. Yeah. It's hard in football, though. It really is.
It is.
It's a contact sport and
an emotional sport.
Super emotional sport.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And, you know, if you don't play emotionally, you'll get burned. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of the part of the game that you kind of don't want to lose.
Yep.
But, hey, it's self-control, though. It's hard to do. Walk away.
Yeah.
It's hard to walk away.
It's hard to be that second person to walk away, especially when someone said something to you. It's not easy. You see it in the NFL all the time, right?
And the guy that retaliates always gets nailed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they never see the initial. It's the second one.
Although the NFL is getting tighter because they have cameras and they see everything.
Yeah,
now, right?
Exactly. No doubt. Well, good luck this weekend. Man, I tell you, this is going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. Good season so far, though.
You had
your first-year coach. And that always is tough. A new coaching staff, you know, and that kind of thing.
We had to figure out our offensive identity. We had to figure out our defensive identity. We've got to get a good weight room culture going, and we're going to continue to work with that. Coach Keller has done a fantastic job for us in the weight room, and she's done a fantastic job with the girls, obviously, because the girls have figured out where they're at, too. I think part of it is, you know, the past regime had some differences with her, and I was like, no, we're going to be on board with this. If we're going to all work together, you know, the old – Minnesota, ski Yuma, row the boat. Like, let's all go in the same direction. Let's not fight each other on this. We may not like all of the same things that we do together, but if we work together and the stream together,
exactly,
we'll be able to grow and change things as we want to continue to do that. So I'm excited about giving our culture some off season this year and seeing how we can help the, you know, the boys basketball team, wrestling as well, because football players are multiple sport athletes and they need to be.
I'm going
to preach that to our guys all the time. And if you're not playing another sport, then you're dang well better be in the
weight
room.
And we love wrestlers playing football. Yeah. They're the best.
100%.
Yeah.
You love a good offensive lineman at the college level that was a wrestler.
You bet.
You know, even the hockey guys are good too. Oh,
yes.
They got some different cores and different stability stuff too. I mean, look at Trey. Trey McPartland's is a hockey guy.
So is Caleb.
Yeah, so is Caleb, you know. So bummer that Parker Alsema takes a puck to the jaw for us.
You know, one last question, I guess, would be the difference in, of course, Valley played AA for a long time.
Yep.
The difference between AA and A. Do you see a difference?
There's a difference in how the football is played because that A level, I'm not saying that the offense is different, but they're tough farm kids, and they run one set of offense, and they've run it for 20 years. So they know if you get this, then we do this. So they have a lot of the if, then what's answered. So when you present something to them, well, they already know how to play against that offense or defensively fairly well because they know what the answer is to this, and they've done it for multiple years. You know, I think at the AA level, you get a little bit more of the influx of we try to look like college a little bit. We want to run some spread. We want to run whatever is the new hype thing. Well, this level, you're going to see I formation, power, counter, and that's what you're going to see in toss, which you don't see a lot at the AA level. And then the attrition is a little bit different, you know. You know, the thing that I talk about, everyone goes wonders why we've moved down so far. The real key to it is when I was the offense coordinator 3 years ago, we had almost 62 kids out for football.
Yeah.
And we have 34 out this year. So
that what 34 is what, 9 through 12?
Yeah, it's 9 through 12, which is 34. Wow. And so we've got to figure out how to get those numbers up. You know, you look at the junior high team. The junior high team between two classes has almost 30 kids between the two classes. So where was the influx of where the freshmen want to become varsity players, you know, eighth graders moving up? Why are we losing those kids? So it's really like my challenge this year to figure out how do we dive into looking at those guys and getting them excited about playing football and going to like Thunder Bowls and doing different things to get that. Cause we had three teams playing Thunder football too. So there's what 60 kids out for Thunder football. So not all of them will play high school football. I get that, but we've got to continue to build that culture that they're excited about playing football.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to say that we're all a baseball program right now, but Valley City High School football has been taking the second rung to baseball. And I love baseball and I love going out there, but I want to be, obviously my ego wants football to be the number one sport, but we got to be excited about football and continuing to grow that and work with baseball at the same time and build both sports and getting our youth men's sports at that same level that the girls are playing at right now.
Multi-sport athletes. Who do colleges recruit?
Multi-sport
athletes.
100%.
You got it. All right. Oh boy, Chad. Hey, really good to have you on.
Yeah,
here.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys
this
for
is
inviting
great.
Me.
Okay, so you're coach for the Vikings.
JJ Vikings?
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings. JJ McCarthy or Carson Wentz, what do you do?
You got to go back and watch the film. You got to continue to see where's the maturity growth as far as what has Carson done for your offense in the last couple of weeks? What does JJ continue to work on and where he needs to move to? You know, where's the comfortability factor with Justin Jefferson?
Yeah.
Is he more comfortable with the ball that's coming out of Carson's hand or is he more comfortable with it out of JJ's hand, right? Like that's a big deal for the Vikings, that you gotta be able to look at both of those too. And then I think, you know, their coach has got to look at it and be, hey, we got to play good, sound defensive football and allow their offense to go, you know, and you got to rely on the run game to be able to do that. And then, you know, I think some people have written off Carson Wentz at a time or two because it's been 4 or 5 years since the time that he took the Eagles to the playoffs.
Right.
And yes, Nick Foles won the Super Bowl for the Eagles that year, but Carson Wentz played his butt off, and
he was an
MVP-type player that year going into it. And I think that knee injury changed some things for him, and then when you go 5 different years with 5 different offensive coordinators in your voice, that makes a big difference.
And really didn't see a lot of playing action in those years as a backup.
Right.
Yeah. And coming out this year, I mean, he was with Mahomes last year, and he didn't see any time hardly.
No, except for that last game of the year.
And the Rams as well.
Yep.
Now he's out here playing, and, you know, give the guy some credit. Yep. I mean – He sat for a long time, and I think he was ready to play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so, too. So,
and he sees the field. That's, you know, a lot of quarterbacks at a young stage don't see the field.
Yep.
And he does. He's a veteran. I mean, but...
But the Vikings do have some questions. I mean, Sam Darnold did a lot of good things for him last year.
Yeah.
J.J. has got a little piece of it. Now Carson came back in and sparked that offense. They have some questions to ask in that coaching staff room.
And J.J. is a future. I mean, they put a lot of weight into that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And it'll be interesting to see because J.J. was a different quarterback for Michigan, too. You go back and watch their Michigan stuff. They were a ball control, run downhill. John Harbaugh wanted all that sort of stuff, and then he made plays when he needed to. So they're a little bit differently.
And I think Addison, he didn't play either in the first couple of games.
I don't think so.
There's an extra weapon that he'll be looking at, too. So that'll help.
Yeah.
I like that Mason, the running back.
Yeah.
He's turned out to be pretty good for the Vikes.
Yep. Yeah. Are you going down to Dakota State this weekend?
Dakota State.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
They got a brand new facility down there. Yeah. I've not been down there to check that out. I've heard a lot of people say it looks really, really nice.
Blakely Field. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it.
They must have a pretty good football team this year.
Yeah. Coach Anderson's doing a really good job with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Facilities.
Oh,
they mean the
world. It's everything, isn't it?
Everything at the college of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at VCSU right now, man.
What's coming down the pipe is really exciting. Point, from an outsider looking at it now, we were at that point where, and I know Mac was probably thinking of it, like we're on the tail end of, you know, remodels and things of stuff that needs to happen. So what we've done to lock in, the top of lock in looks great now, and then getting a new
indoor facility.
Yeah, it's just going to help. That weight room, we need a new weight room downstairs. They've needed those sorts of things, and I think Coach Mac's done a good job of doing that as the athletic director to be able to get things lined up for him. So.
Great stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
Chad, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Chad Smith, Valley City Highlander football coach. Today in history, you ever swing a bat so hard that you did something to your body?
Yep.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bat came back around, hit me in the head.
Well, in 1862 on this day, baseballer James Creighton ruptures a bladder hitting a home run. He dies 3 days later.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
Well, at least he got the home run.
Yeah, he got the home run. Feeling pretty good about that.
Oh, no.
And then he dies on October 18th, which is weird.
That's a wild stat.
That is really crazy. 1962, Houston Oiler George Blanda throws for 6 TDs against the New York Titans, 56-17 win. 1964, little-known American distance runner Billy Mills, South Dakota kid, scores a major upset by winning the 10,000-meter at the Tokyo Games. Only American ever to win that event. That is strange.
University of Kansas.
Yeah, University of Kansas, you're right. On this day, 1964, this will make you feel good, Paul.
Better.
New York Yankees, Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle hit home runs on back-to-back pitches.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a record. Back-to-back pitches.
Yeah.
And 1965, Baseball World Series. 65.
Twins and Dodgers.
Dodgers edged the Twins 2-0 in Game 7 at Metropolitan Stadium. MVP, who was it?
Sandy Koufax.
Yes, it was.
Yep.
Sandy Koufax. Twins lose it 2-0, and they lost the series.
Younger generations would know none of those. I knew names, and I didn't know who it was, but I at least knew ideas of who that was.
Okay, so here's one. Here's one you're gonna this
warrior
will ring a
generation.
Bell. Yeah, on this day, 1990, the 49er Joe Montana passes for 6 touchdowns against Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
49-35 win there, and let's see here. Oh, 2003, Steve Bartman.
Oh,
that
goodness.
Name ring a bell?
Yes, it does.
Oh, the Cubs.
Deflects the ball
on the foul
from
ball.
The Cubs outfielder, Moises Alou. Oh, yeah, I remember that, don't you?
Oh, man. That's he went into hiding for a while.
What was the Cubs? The curse of the Billy Goat?
Curse of the Goat. Curse of the Goat.
And now everyone believed it then.
Wow. Crazy.
Sports. I heard they gave him a ring after they won it.
They did. Yes.
They did, yeah.
They did. Yep.
Guy's still in hiding. I'm sure he is. He can't go anywhere.
No.
Well, maybe this year they can No, they didn't make it.
They didn't make it.
No, they
did. The Cubs are always going to.
Yeah.
The Cubs have next year. Yeah, they're signs now. Always next year. That's what they always said. But they fixed it. Like the Red Sox and them have fixed it now.
Yeah.
So it's now it's the Vikings and or the Bills or someone else.
The Twins have two, so I mean, it's not so bad. But the Vikings, Vikings, Bills.
Yeah, Vikings, Bills.
The Broncos fixed it.
Yep.
But the Vikings and Bills have never fixed it.
No.
Still waiting.
And the Vikings and Bills have been to four of them, so that's what's tough for them.
Tough, yeah. And they had some good teams, too. Sports birthdays today. John Wooden was born on this day in 1910.
Okay.
Had a little thing going on at UCLA.
Yeah, he did pretty well.
Yeah. 10 national championships. Boy, did he have players there or what?
Yeah, he knew how to recruit.
All-time best for UCLA?
Lou Alcindor.
Bill Walton.
Bill Walton was up there.
Bill Walton was up there, too.
As much as a weird announcer as he was.
He was a weird dude.
J.C. Sneed was born on this day, 1940. American golfer. 8 PGA Tour titles. Masters, 73 runner-up. Died in 2025. Mm. Bob Kuchenberg. That name ring a bell there?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, 1947 he was born. He was a guard, pretty good guard, 6-time Pro Bowl, Super Bowl 1972 and 73 with the Dolphins.
Okay.
Kuchenberg.
He's still popping champagne for that 73 Dolphins team then.
Yeah. Every time a team loses,
exactly.
They celebrate.
Born on this day, 1967, Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A.
Yeah. Moving on.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that guy. Wasn't he gonna,
I agree with him on a lot of his issues, but
not all of them.
Sometimes he needs to.
He's doing political stuff.
He's doing political now. Is he running for president?
I don't know, but he's on POTUS, so he tries to talk politics now. And I'm like, dude, you've been a sports guy.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, man.
Other birthdays today. Jared Goff is 30 today.
Okay.
Tough birthday for him.
Yeah.
He lost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
no doubt.
Not too excited about it.
Kurt Warner. Hy-Vee grocery kid
is
55 today. Mm-hmm. He worked for Hy-Vee, and then they called him up and said, hey, can you play football?
Play for the Iowa Barnstormers and the AFL, and then moved up,
Got to watch that movie that's based on
it
his
is really
good.
Yes,
book. It's a
very
good
movie. Yeah, Kerry Wood, 54.
Pitcher.
Strikeout record for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Cubs are popping up all over the place here. Bill Lee, and Eric Kringle is not here. Bill Lee, 78, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And I had a joke of the day. No, I didn't.
All the girls didn't get you one today.
Girls didn't get me a joke of the day today, and I didn't see a text. So I do have a golf rule, though, for seniors, if I could pass that on.
For seniors.
I have some, but I'm just going to name one. I'll do another one next week.
Okay.
A few golf rules for seniors. There shall be no such thing as a lost ball. The missing ball is on or near the course and will eventually be found and pocketed by someone else, making it a stolen ball. The player is not to compound the felony by charging him or herself with a penalty.
Here we go. I like that.
I like that a lot. Oh. If I can't find my ball, somebody's going to steal it later and they should be charged. And I'm going to do one more, okay? That was so good, we'll do another one. If a putt passes over a hole without dropping, it is deemed to have dropped. The law of gravity supersedes the law of golf.
I would agree with that one. I've always thought that, too.
Yeah, me too. You know, you just miss it. It's good. It's all good. Okay.
Do you have any golf trips coming up?
I don't have any golf trips, but I'm going to try to get out maybe a couple more times here before the fall hits. That's hard to say. But no golf trips. Was out on the Moorhead Country Club the other day. I'm looking at maybe doing a membership there. My son is over there.
Cool.
And I was golfing with three young bucks. I joined them, and boy, he's got a few lessons there, too.
Nice.
But, hey, it's always fun to get a lesson or two.
Yeah.
And it didn't cost you anything.
That's always the best thing.
Yeah,
that's
no kidding. Well, that is all we have for this week's Toast and Jam. I want to thank our guest again, Chad Smith, Valley City Highlander football coach. Good luck.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck
it,
on Friday night.
Thank
okay,
you.
You bet. And Paul, our good buddy Glenn in Minneapolis, is still waiting for his residual check.
It's in the mail.
Okay. He's one of our loyal listeners. And he thinks he's got a check coming, I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's on its way, Glenn.
Okay.
Not sure when, but it's on its way.
And we want to thank our production staff back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know who they are.
Colby Hansen, Mark Potts, absolutely.
They've done a great
Appreciate
job.
It.
They do
hey,
a great job.
You can't praise Mark Potts more than what he's done for VCSU over 10 years. I mean, he's been phenomenal for this place.
Pride of the Lemoore Lobos.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Lobo. I'm a Cardinal.
Okay.
Does some of the Palm kids at EEK say I'm still a Gopher then? Or?
I never went to Lemoore. I played baseball for Lemoore Legion.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Verona.
Verona Cardinals. Don't blink. Right? Yeah, that's right. Don't blink when you're going by.
He's got his finger on the button, fellas. You
I know. I gotta, we're in we're treading big time. Paul, do you have any final words for us?
Oh, I just do want to shout out to our three teachers. We're going to try to get on from VCSU instructors that we're going to talk a little bit about the couple of big spring trips. We're going to have Joan Klein, Amber Thompson, Heather Peschel. We're going to join us. And coming up March 6th through the 11th, they have a spring break trip to Disneyland. And Joan and Heather are going to be on that. They're from the School of Education, and they're leading that vacation opportunity. And if you want in on that trip, you can get a hold of one of those three ladies. Also, coming up in May, this is what I'm thinking about, May 24th through the 30th. This is what, because they're going to London and Edinburgh, Scotland. And there again, Amber Thompson, who's from the Kinesiology and Human Performance Department, along with Joe Klein from the School of Education, are going to be part of that. Now, as you're watching us and listening to us here on Tuesday, the 14th of October, it's $21.50. Tomorrow it goes up.
Oh,
so if you want to go on that trip, you got to get a hold of them today to get that that price. Otherwise, it's going to go up. But do you can find them, I'm sure, on the VCSU website. Again, it's Amber Thompson, Joan Klein, Heather Peschel, and they will help get you set up for one of these two big trips coming up in the spring and early summer.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Got to do that.
I
take your clubs along, too. You
that
know?
Edinburgh trip. That's my home country, Scotland. I'm part Scottish. Yes. I'd love to do that.
Hey, I did get a joke, and this is going to fit in really nice.
Okay? All right.
This is from Kate, one of my granddaughters. In Minot.
Yeah. Yeah,
one of five in Minot. Anyway, what's the difference between a football player and a dog? What's the difference between a football player and a dog?
It's a great question. I don't know.
Football player has a whole uniform. A dog only pants.
Oh, boy.
You got that one?
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Kate.
That was a good dad joke.
Oh, gosh. I love it.
I love those jokes. They're really good. I don't know where they come up with that stuff.
They got a book, probably.
I think they... Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think they do. Again, thanks to Valley City State University, Toast and Jam, saying bye-bye for now. Be safe, and we'll see you next week.